Welcome to Baba's Beach, Episode 11. In the story The Red Pony by John Steinbeck, a character stands on the shores of the Pacific Ocean and realizes after generations of his pioneering family migrating westward, this strip of sand is where it all ends. 21 years ago, I decided to change my life, to leave Alberta, the world I'd grown up in, and follow my ancestors' footsteps, keeping heading west. For me, it held the promise of a new beginning. I remember being completely amazed at how intensely it can rain here in the winter, and how it gave a new definition to the word eternity. After the sunny, cold days of sparkling snow in Edmonton, it was difficult to adjust to seeing street and car lights reflecting off rain-blackened streets at noon. I stayed at a friend's house until I found a place of my own, and a means of sustaining myself. Finding work was always fairly easy in Edmonton, but in this town it was a challenge to catch an employer's attention. I finally settled on a combination of unemployment insurance to pay the rent and working under the table to put milk in the fridge and cigarettes in my pocket. Nowadays, of course, it would take the entire UI just to pay for the smokes. While still at my friend's house, I met a young man who was there to fix her impeller. That pump hose thingy that circulates water in a washing machine. You knew what it meant. He was just one of the guys that hung out at the house. Someone quiet and handy at fixing things. I watched the rain come down, and I watched him dissect the old wringer washer. Then I watched the rain continue to come down, and watched him triumphantly pull a sock out of the hose. After everything was put back together and he wandered off to wave the trophy under M's nose, I stopped watching the rain long enough to casually overhear his name. A few nights later, I persuaded him to take me for a ride on his brand new motorcycle. We went up to the top of nearby Mount Tolmie, and he pointed out all his friends' houses, completely oblivious to the beautiful full moon and my attempts to snuggle a little closer. On a rare sunny day at the end of that November, I went for a long walk to blow some silly ideas out of my head. Sitting on a rock at Cattle Point, I'd perk up at the sound of a motorcycle going by and shake my head with disappointment when they faded into the distance. Then there was a pair of familiar running shoes and a tall shadow beside me. Apparently, M had dropped a few subtle hints when he'd shown up at the house looking for a cup of coffee. Something to the effect of, "She likes you, you know." Since then, we've managed to stumble through life together, accumulating lots of memories. Some wonderful, some we would both be happy to forget. We both remember driving down a little side street, looking over the few addresses in our price range, and stopping at a sweet bungalow with the closest thing to a sign from God my beloved has ever looked for, a white picket fence. It's been 21 years of building a life together. He's kept me grounded, saved my life, and taught me the difference between then and then, which I forget now and then just to see that look in his eyes. It would test everyone's patience if I went on at length about what I've gotten out of this particular partnership. The mystery to be solved, however, is considering my many faults, laziness, quirky sense of humor, to be polite, disinclination to play by the rules, spectacularly irrational, full-spectrum emotional outbursts just to hit the high points, what keeps him hanging around? He's the boy everybody's mom wanted their sons to play with. He likes vanilla ice cream, wool socks, and being at least 5 minutes early for everything. Dependable, smart, as hard-working as our Volvo station wagon. I've always been a bit of a magpie, a creature easily distracted by shiny gum wrappers. In moments of self-confidence, I consider it a sign of intelligence and creativity. In the dark moments of self-doubt, it is further proof I'm about to be exposed to the world as a cheap fraud and charlatan. So what keeps him coming home to housekeeping, not by June Cleaver, but Barney Rubble. A couch upholstered in dog hair, kitchen counters buried under a collection of last year's school notices, warranties to appliances thrown out years ago, and itty-bitty bits of paper with something written on them that might be important someday, usually 3 days after I finally throw them out. A pile of clothes waiting to be ironed, some since Gretzky was an Oiler. And, of course, the countless times I've used him as a hapless foil in my writing. It's one of the big mysteries in my life, and you're probably wondering why I don't just ask him myself. I've thought of it many times, but he'd just say I ask too many questions. Thank you for joining us on Baba's Beach. Music was provided by the PodSafe Music Network. For show notes and links to the musicians, or to leave comments, come visit us at babasbeach.ca. That's BABASBEACH.ca.